You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Latinos are the largest minority group in California, with hundreds of thousands of people calling Sacramento home. And this community is increasingly becoming part of the region's economic fabric. Earlier this year, the Sacramento Hispanic Chamber of Commerce released its latest edition of its Hispanic Economic Report. The report highlights the progress made by the Hispanic community over the past 2 years, from improving educational outcomes and increasing wages, as well as some of the enduring challenges, like ongoing struggles for affordable homeownership. The Chamber will also be presenting its Latina Estrella Awards tonight. Today, we're going to check in and see what the local economic landscape looks like. Joining us now is Hispanic Chamber CEO Kathy Rodriguez Aguirre, as well as some local businesses. Alan Jimenez is the owner of Con Azúcar Cafe in downtown Sacramento, and Melissa Sanchez is the owner of Alma Wine Bar along S Street. Welcome to you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
What a treat. Okay, Kathy, so let's focus a little bit or start off with the economic report. I mean, when you talk about the Hispanic or the Latino community of the Sacramento greater region, that can be tough to visualize. I mean, what does this community look like in Sacramento and surrounding counties?
Well, it looks big, for starters. So the Hispanic Economic Report covers the community over the 6 counties. So it's the only hyperlocal report that you'll see. And what you find out when you look at it is we're very diverse, that we are young. And I'm not saying that me personally, but just overall. we tend to skew younger. We are growing in different industries, and we're definitely growing in entrepreneurship. And one of the other things that we saw in the report is that we were also increasing in home ownership. And I think that's also a reflection of our community. When you look at it, when things were getting tougher, we see a lot of families coming together. So multi-generationals are coming together to purchase homes. But regardless of how it's happening, it's definitely a step in the right direction. We also saw, and they thought this was interesting, that when we talk about the digital divide, it's actually getting much smaller. More and more people are having access to the tools that they need to be able to, for their educational needs, for business needs, whatever it might be, but it's definitely getting there. So those were the things that we saw that were great progress and things that we were really excited to see.
How do you conduct a report like this to get a good gauge of the economic impact and also the challenges across the region?
We had a lot of help. So we started this report, the first one came out in 21, and we had 23 and 25. We've done this in partnership with Sacramento State and their research department. This last one we actually did with SACOG and also the Greater Sacramento Economic Council. Who has a lot of deep dive as far as like where the stats are for entrepreneurship and businesses and things that are coming here. So there is a lot of work that comes to this, which is why it only happens every other year. So even as we're talking right now, we're getting ready for the release that will happen again in 27. So it takes a lot of data, a lot of work of coming together. But we feel like this is a good comprehensive snapshot of what's happening in the Latino community.
Well, Alan and Melissa, I would love to learn a little bit about yourselves and your businesses. Alan, tell us about Con Azúcar Cafe. It's in Bidoco, right?
Yeah, it's right by the Golden One Center. But yeah, I mean, for me, I'm actually a Sac State alumni, so I graduated during COVID 2020. That was a big motivation for me down the road to eventually get into a business. Got into the corporate world and definitely wanted to change and, you know, took a big risk at a young age with kids on the way, family growing. And yeah, we got into Con Azúcar Café. And we've been really fortunate to, you know, receive a lot of support from the community and the Latino community and anybody. Honestly, we've been getting support just from all types of demographics. It's been amazing. And I'm super grateful for the opportunity to be in such a highlighted area. So it's such a great opportunity to show some representation. Mm-hmm. And I think we've done it in a really, really prominent area, which has been great for us.
I mean, going from a corporate job, the corporate world, to being your own business owner and opening up a cafe, I mean, that's like a hard left, you know. What drew you to that, wanting to be your own business owner?
To be honest, so I got let go from my company. And that's really what drove me to have a little distrust in that corporate setting. I was at an all-time low when I got let go because my wife was pregnant and we're looking for a home. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely a difficult time. But, you know, with the support of my family and like a little bit of self-belief, you know, I kind of tightened up for 2 years and saved up money, took out loans, did anything I can to fulfill this dream. So for me, it was definitely I need to do it now because I don't want to live, you know, and grow old and be like, oh, I wish I would have done it. So it was definitely a now situation that I wanted, and it was stuck in my brain. And I pushed through, and yeah, we're here today, and I'm super happy where we're at, and you know, connecting with the community. That's ultimately for me the biggest thing.
Why coffee and sweets like pan dulce?
It's obviously, pan dulce is such a traditional thing in the Latino culture. So, and coffee is one of the most consumed beverages in the world. So, I love the simplicity of it. I love the traditional flavors. I love, you know, what it signifies in our Hispanic community. You know, just gathering and, you know, chismeando and doing all those things that we all know and love. So it was definitely a big thing for me to highlight, just a unified area for us to come in and definitely have a safe space.
Melissa, tell us about Alma Wine Bar.
Thank you so much. So we're located at 12th and S, and we share a building with R&M Framing. That's Renee and Monica Delgado, and their son's art studio, Rafael Delgado, is right next door to us, too. We are a wine bar and a shop, so you can come in, drink wine. The amazing chef Eddie Torres from La Cocina del Carmen is with us Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so you get some amazing food. And you could also just come by and pick up a bottle or two of wine to take home with you.
What drew you to wine?
I've always loved wine, and a few years ago, I got really obsessed with it, started getting certifications, started trying to learn more, started working in a tasting room in Napa on the weekends, and just loved sharing wine with others and the stories and behind it. And so I wanted to do that a lot more than I was able to do it at the time.
Yeah. Which wineries do you partner with? What wines do you like to showcase at Alma Wine Bar?
So we really focus on three things when I choose wines for the wine bar. And the first one is focusing on independent producers. So families or individuals who are making the wine and own the business. Then we focus on promoting diversity in the wine industry. So a lot of women winemakers and owners, Latinos, other people of color, LGBTQ+. And then we also focus on agriculture. So making sure that the agriculture or the viticulture is sustainable, regenerative, or biodynamic, or organic.
Mm. I'm curious. I mean, these are just two very unique businesses within the Hispanic Chamber and within this economic report, where you get this really good snapshot and an intimate snapshot of, you know, Latino business owners across the Sacramento region. It's also been 5 years since the pandemic started, and that was incredibly difficult for small businesses across the country, of course, here in Sacramento. Are there any lingering impacts among the Hispanic community and businesses that you'd like people to better understand, Kathy?
Well, I think we're all, you know, still having some lingering effects, you know, from the pandemic. And I think during that time, what a lot of people figured out, though, is how to pivot and what their strengths were. So I always share a lot when we look especially at our diverse businesses during that time period. As much as we were seeing, here's businesses are closing, here's things that are happening, we found that more actually stayed open, more leaned into technology, more had to learn basically how to keep their livelihood. All because you have to remember, for many people, this is how they're supporting their families. So the choice to close really wasn't one for them. But now we come here 5 years and you're looking at two businesses right in front of you that I love telling their stories. And a lot of them, just even right now when they're sitting, they were always talking about, how can we collaborate? What can we do? And that's what you see a lot in our business communities, especially our Latino businesses, is you're seeing them reach out to one another. What can we do together? How can we support one another? What do you know that I don't know? And I think that is a testament to our community that we have. You'll have to bring Alan in later, because what he didn't tell you is that he has this cafe here, but it's a franchise. It's one of...
How many, Alan?
Like 12.
Oh my gosh, 12.
Okay, so. I think there's around 12 franchises, yeah.
And what is the benefit of that?
Of franchising? Mm-hmm. So for me, just a backstory on how I got into the franchise. So with the franchise model, of course, it builds a template for let's say someone like myself. At the time, I was about 26. I'm 30 now, but when I was about 26 is when I inquired about it. I've always wanted to get into a business, and for me, it was like, okay, how do I get into it? How do I start on my own? There's a lot of difficulties, I guess, when you start on your own, because you got to build everything from scratch, right? But with the franchise model, it does give you a template to follow. So not only a template to follow, but some changes could happen, right, based off your own experiences, your market, Anything you can make and shift, you can still have some control with some limitations. So that's like the con of it, right? It's very, very controlled. But at least it builds a template for someone wanting to get into a certain business. So definitely do a lot of research before getting into a franchise because there is a lot of cons. But nonetheless, it definitely builds a template for me. Down the goal is to eventually open up something on my own, right?
Yeah, and for you, the pros outweighed the cons 100%. And the challenges.
There's a lot of challenges, and nonetheless, I think for me, me personally, I see a lot of the positives and the negatives, because no money, no schooling, no nothing, none of that can help me prepare myself more than being in a situation that will help me learn. So as long as your mindset's kind of like that, honestly, you'll be successful. So, but yeah, it's a great concept. It's a beautiful concept, but there's definitely ways that, you know, as a business owner, you can develop and get more ideas and then collaborate. Even though we are a franchise, like Kathy said, we do a lot of collaborations. So we bring people in. We make some changes to impact our community directly.
Melissa, what would you like people to better understand about maybe the learning curves that come with being a small business owner?
There's a lot to understand. I feel very fortunate because I am an attorney and I was helping businesses, or I still have my law practice, but I've been involved with business in Sacramento for about 15 years now. So that was a huge help to me in this project. And it was a lot of working with the city. We had to get our ABC license. We had to go through an entitlement process for that. It was working with the city on trying to build a patio out front, which I still need to finish doing, and just kind of working also with the state. And so there can be a lot of challenges in that, and I feel like it can be overwhelming for some people. And so I always try to be a resource if possible, or if other friends or community members have questions about anything. I think that's something that can help somebody get to the next step of their idea.
There's also been a growing trend of people turning away from alcohol. I mean, have you seen that impact? How has that impacted your business?
That is a growing trend. I think it's impacted the wine industry in a major way. Our business just started about a year ago, so it's kind of hard to say exactly how it's impacted us directly. But I think maybe it's for the people who do come in, it's talking about the stories behind the wine, why we choose the wines that we do, why we're drinking intentionally and not just get inebriated. Yeah. There's a reason behind why we drink the wine that we do and enjoy it and share it with other people. And so I think hopefully that and that's not something that you get with every drink that you drink. And it's a type of food. As we know, we have UC Davis here in our backyard, and so there's that whole emphasis on just reminding everybody that wine and food go together. And so that's a big thing that we try to talk about with everybody who comes in, and really focus on creating a guest that wants to come back because they want to learn more, because they want to enjoy more, they want to share more.
Yeah. I mean, both of you provide a space for the community to connect, to gather over a cup of coffee or over a glass of wine. Why is it important to be part of the community in this way? What has it meant to you since you've opened up both of your spaces, your cafe and your wine bar, to be that space for people to gather and connect?
I can start. I mean, I do a lot of collaborations, and for me, it's such an important thing. And I always tell people when they approach me, like, hey, we want to do something here. I'm like, let's do it. Like, I'm not here to, make a percentage cut off of your sales. Like, as long as people consume, that's all I really care about. But nonetheless, for me, it's just a way to highlight a small business or a growing business, because I don't see myself, yes, it's a franchise. I still see myself as a very small business trying to make an impact. So for me, bring the people in, whether it's like today we have a Casa and Cafe event, right? Who's some real estate agents are coming down, having some people in emphasis on Latinos, educating them on home ownership. This Friday we have a velita making workshop. So for me, it's like we constantly try to highlight people in our shop. We do marketing videos for them so they can use them for their own personal use as well. So for me, I personally, in my story, I didn't get here by myself, so I can't do everything by myself. So if there's a way I can help other people, it's a win-win for all of us. So I think we're in such a prominent area where it definitely highlights the Latino community. So if I can utilize my space both for Latinos or any other community, I'm more than happy to share it. So it's such an important part. I think a lot of businesses do kind of mess up on that aspect. I feel like people wait for people to come in. I think for us, it's really important that we have to go out more. Even though we are like in a high traffic area, people assume like, oh, you get the natural traffic. Like, yes, but no. Like, we have to do a lot of the outreach. We have to do a lot of the footwork. So it's very important for us to just not settle and just assume people are just going to walk in naturally, whether you just make a video. I'm like, no, we have to put ourselves out there a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of coffee shops in downtown. There's a lot of wine bars as well. I mean, what does it mean for you that people go to Alma Wine Bar to spend time?
It means so much to me. We wouldn't be around without all the guests who come in. And, you know, luckily our space is set up where we're very conducive to having events, mixers, having, you know, different parties, celebrations for people. So we do a good amount of private events, but we also like to encourage leadership organizations, business organizations, other local businesses to come in and use our space. For example, in the last couple weeks, we did an event with fellow Sacramento Hispanic Chamber of Commerce members, Casa de Español, Paz Pilates. We're going to be participating in the Latina Estrella Awards, which I think we're going to talk about towards the end, with our, you know, fellow building neighbors, R&M Framing and Rafael Delgado. And so it's just about letting people know that the space is there if they want to come use it, if they want to come enjoy, if they want to have an event. Like, we're available, and we try to make it affordable. Yeah. And also easy for people to come in.
We only have a few seconds left, maybe about 30 seconds or so. We got to end with the Estrella Awards. I mean, tell people what it's about, because it's happening tonight.
Latina Estrella Awards are tonight. We're at Project Sacramento. It is my favorite day of the year, because we are celebrating Latinas across the region who have been doing amazing accomplishments. And the theme is the courage to become, because when I looked at all four of them, I realized that they're at the different heights of their careers, but their way that they got there, at some point someone probably had to underestimate them, and yet they soared, and more importantly, they brought people with them. And I thought that was an incredible just common theme through all of them, that as they were doing it, they didn't forget that the way we lift each other up is we have to bring people with us. So we're excited to celebrate it tonight. As you can tell from the members that were here, I love sharing the stories of our businesses and how people collaborate, how they connect, how they're building community. And I think that's what really sets a lot of our businesses apart, is yes, there's a bottom line, but the main aspect of them is that they're in it because they're building community. They want people to come together to enjoy the products that they have, but also, you know, it's a way to celebrate culture, and culture is what also helps our economy thrive. Yeah. So we're celebrating the Latinas tonight. We're celebrating our businesses every day. And we hope that, you know, other people go out and go to meet them.
It'll be a great time. Have a lot of fun.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Kathy Rodriguez Aguirre is the CEO of the Sacramento Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Alan Jimenez is the owner of Con Azúcar Cafe in downtown Sacramento. And Melissa Sanchez is the owner of Alma Wine Bar along S Street. We've been checking in on the local economic and business scene of Latinos and talking about some of the points outlined in the third Hispanic Economic Report released earlier this year. And as I mentioned, the Estrella Awards are happening this evening, celebrating the professional business and community leaders across Sacramento. Still ahead, we'll get to know the Capital Pops concert band ahead of their first concert of the season and hear how this volunteer group of musicians has grown its membership in recent years. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.